Dobré odpoledne, vážené dámy, vážení pánové. Vítám vás na tiskové konferenci v Černínském paláci. Dovolte, abych představil dnešní hosty. Hostitel a hostitele prvního místopředsedu vlády, ministra zahraničních věcí Karla Schwarzenberga, dále ministra zahraničních věcí Radoslava Sikorského, ministra zahraničních věcí Polské republiky, ministra zahraničních věcí Maďarské republiky Jánoše Martoniho, dále ministra zahraničních věcí Slovenské republiky pana Mikuláše Dzurindu, ministra zahraničních věcí Slovinské republiky pana Samuela Žbogara, dále komisaře pro rozšíření a politiku sousedství pana Štefana Fíleho a ředitele Evropské služby vnější akce pana Miroslava Lajčáka. Prosím o úvodní slovo českého ministra zahraničních věcí.
Tentokrát to bude opravdu jenom úvodní slovo. I will just speak at the beginning, because as I have such a lot of colleagues of mine here, so I will be the shortest of them, so they have the chance. It was a very good meeting, because as we are knowing each other better with each year, some of us for many years now, we left the usual diplomatic language and are speaking very openly about the problems existing, which is relevant progress. Otherwise, we had, of course, two main topics. The one was the future Visegrad Ford for Western Balkans, which the Visegrad Group decided to establish. And second, we have a discussion about the accession process of Western Balkan countries to the European Union. As you know, they're in different states of progress. The Croatia is immediately before the door. Some are progressing well, some are rather now limping behind. And these problems we are discussing with our colleagues, with our friends, and as we were openly speaking about the problems, it took the whole day. But I can assure it was a useful meeting, and now I will leave the words to my colleagues. Bylo to opravdu dobré setkání, otevřené, upřímné, a myslím, že jsme opravdu se zásadních problémů dotkli. To bych řekl, je hlavní informace. Next one.
I would only have a few opening remarks, and I would like to say that it was a very fruitful discussion. We've had a very good and progressive meeting. Thank you.
Prosím, the next floor for Radoslav Sikorski, Minister of the Foreign Affairs of the Polish Republic.
Thank you. I'd like to, first of all, express my gratitude to the chair of the Visegrad Group for continuing this tradition of meeting with our partners from the Western Balkans. I think Visegrad is a good trademark, and we provide a useful example of how to prepare yourself for future membership in the EU. As the rotating presidency, we are still responsible for the enlargement agenda, and I'd like to confirm that Poland is committed, indeed the EU is committed, to the completion of enlargement to include Western Balkans. Europe will not be whole and free until all of the Balkan countries are parts of the institutional EU. I would also like to comment on the fact that I think the idea of the Greek referendum is now over. Good. Wasn't a good idea. We need to overcome the crisis, but in order to do so, we have to be clear about its causes. And I'd just like to draw your attention to an article in the FT today by a significant official which blames the causes of the, appears to, if I understand it correctly, of the crisis on enlargement. Now, I think, as I say, to cure Europe from its malaise, we have to be clear about the causes. And enlargement, and certainly what used to be known as Eastern Europe, is not part of this problem. We are part of the solution. We have enlarged the market for companies from all over Europe. And today, some of our countries, those present here, but also Estonia, Latvia, others, have made very painful sacrifices to fix their economies. And we feel that credit is due for what has been done, because it's been achieved at a great sacrifice to our peoples. And so I believe that the blame for the crisis should fall where it's due, to on those people who broke the stability pact, and it wasn't us. But of course it reflects that the propensity, the enthusiasm for enlargement, for whatever causes, is less. And therefore, the conditionality will be all the much stricter. And therefore, we have a twofold message from this meeting. Number one, we need to continue with the enlargement agenda. But number two, we need to continue the commitment to reform and to fulfilling all the conditions that our West Balkan friends need to meet to become candidates, and then in due course, as I hope will be the case of Croatia next month, full members. Thank you.
Let me introduce the next speaker, Minister of the Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Hungary, János Mártoni.
Thank you very much. First and foremost, I also would like to express my gratitude to the chair for the excellent chairmanship of Karel Schwarzenberg. This has been a good meeting, a very successful meeting. I have attended a large number of V4 meetings in the last little bit more than 20 years. And a couple of minutes before, I was just asking myself, why is it that my mood is always much better when we finish such a meeting? You all know that our mood is now volatile. There are ups and downs. Things are changing on a daily or indeed on an hourly basis. Our mood is almost as volatile. It is rallying at least as fast as share prices on the stock exchange. Now, the answer to my question, why my mood is so much better at the end of V4 meetings, is that I realize that our old dream about Central Europe is now becoming a reality. An economic, a political, cultural, and a psychological reality. Now, the purpose of this meeting today, as it was the case for two previous meetings as well, has been to project this feeling, to project, if you want, this dream, or to project this culture of cooperation and competition at the same time to our southern neighbors, because we all have a fundamental interest in the security, stability, and prosperity of this region. There are different ways of conveying this message and promoting this objective. One is certainly enlargement. For enlargement, it seems to be that 2011 has been or will have been a very successful year. And I just would like to remind you that if you look back at the history of European integration, in fact, Europe has always become stronger after successive enlargement exercises. Each case, new policies were developed, and by the way, this seems to be the case this time as well. Now, another way of promoting this objective is to transfer or to convey what we now call the best practices. Visegrad, I mean V4 in itself, is in a way a best practice. So now we would like to assist and help the Western Balkans countries to benefit from these experiences. We would like to share our experiences and practices with them, and there are now concrete initiatives in this respect. My last word about the crisis, I fully subscribe to what Minister Radek Sikorski has just said, and that's why I believe it's very important to keep in mind that enlargements in each case have made Europe, in fact, stronger. And this has been the case as well 7 or 8 years ago at the time of reunification of Europe. But this is unfinished. And we have to go on. And I think V4 will further work and will have to do everything so that this ultimate objective of a complete and full reunification of Europe be achieved. Thank you.
Thank you. Now the floor for Minister of the Foreign Affairs of Slovak Republic, Mikuláš Zurinda.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I mean that main message coming from our meeting is that in spite of all difficulties which we are fighting with in Eurozone or in our own countries, the process of enlargement is or must be alive. The process of enlargement must be alive to fulfill another dream coming from our Velvet Revolution, to make or to have Europe whole and free. And to have Europe whole and free is impossible without the countries of Western Balkans. So I am very happy that after the meeting in Budapest 2 years ago, in Bratislava a year ago, we are continuing with the agenda of enlargement, especially in two dimensions, Eastern Partnership and the Western Balkans. I am very satisfied with the content of our negotiations, but even more with the progress which have been reached practically in all countries. We have the first success story in this region, Croatia. And we are quite satisfied with the progress which has been done in Serbia, in Montenegro. We do our best individually. In Slovakia, we have established a center for using experience. We have some concrete projects or programs in Serbia, in Montenegro. We want to be more active in Bosnia and Herzegovina. But I mean that also our regional cooperation and our common voice is very, very important. So we will leave Prague encouraged to go on in this agenda as much as possible. I am very happy that our Slovenian colleague is with us to fulfill the formula V4 plus. And I'm sure that it was very good to listen the description of the Commissioner File, but also Miroslav Lajčák from EEAS. So, finalizing my intervention, I want to thank to our host, Karol Schwarzenberg, for inviting and organizing this event for his generous hospitality. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. And the next speaker is Samuel Bogar, Minister of the Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Slovenia.
Thank you very much. First, I want to thank Karl for the invitation to Slovenia to participate at the V4 meeting. It's for the first time that I'm participating at such a meeting, and I have to say that I feel at home. We feel V4, as we say. Slovenia and V4 share same important elements of identity, and we share the same sense of belonging to the region of Central Europe. And we want to strengthen cooperation with the countries of Central Europe, with the V4, and we are ready to work toward similar goals with the concrete projects and concrete ideas. And of course, today we discussed an issue that is close to both of us, the issue of the Western Balkans. We both are, I think was great meeting of minds on the Western Balkans. We can say it was a group of friends of the Western Balkans discussing ways how to promote the enlargement further, how to keep it alive, how to have results at the December Council. I think our important message to the countries of the region was, as Radek was saying, help us in order so that we can help you. So do the reforms, do what is necessary so that we can help you later on deliver the EU future. And I think the December Council is an important event when we hope that we could deliver important positive messages to each and every country of the region. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next floor will be for Stefan Fiele, European Commissioner.
Many thanks, and indeed, many thanks for the hospitality. It is important to see Visegrad Group not only using these discussions for talking about the enlargement, and it's important to see that the Visegrad Group has already reached a point proposing a concrete initiative to the Western Balkan countries, and that was probably the highlight of today's event. The enlargement is a part of the European Union DNA, and 2011 was an important year for enlargement. So what a perfect timing for V4 ministers of foreign affairs to talk to their colleagues from Western Balkans based on the last progress report, what could be and should be done before the December European Council, and what are the priorities beyond the Council. We have discussed also two important points from my perspective, and it is the credibility of the process. And double credibility. Credibility on the side of the aspirant and candidate countries in delivering the reforms, in delivering on the expectations as far as enlargement, and credibility on the side of the member states, on the side of the European Union, that once a candidate country, aspirant, reaches a certain level through its reform process, that member states and the European Union offers a higher level of engagement with that country. And the second element was the transformative power of enlargement. With Croatia finishing its accession negotiations, one has a perfect opportunity to look at Croatia 10 years ago when it has applied for membership, and today's Croatia. What a change. And I strongly believe that this is actually the most important and valuable message to the European Union, which is facing tremendous challenges, economic and financial, the message of transformative power it has. The enlargement is the most effective policy to assist the countries in their transformation. This is the most effective policy to project our values, and that's why it should continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next speaker is Miroslav Lajčák, European External Action Service Managing Director for Russia, Eastern Neighborhood and the Western Balkans.
Thank you very much. And as I'm representing the youngest European institution, European External Action Service, I would like to extend my thanks and congratulations to Minister Schwarzenberg and the Czech Republic for the initiative to host this meeting, which was indeed very good. It was useful and important both on timing and on the substance. I think that the discussions we had with partners from the Western Balkans reinforces the need for the speeding up of the process of the internal reforms, further encourage them to engage in regional cooperation and also to use the goodwill and the positive experience that exists on the side of the Visegrad 4 countries and Slovenia. A number of ministers here spoke about a good feeling after the meeting, and I shall say that it was also thanks to our partners from the region, from the Western Balkans, who contributed to the success of this meeting because they demonstrated the responsibility, constructive approach, and also the awareness of the expectations that exist on the side of the European Union and its member states. And I do hope that this momentum that I think we were able to create today in Prague, they will be able to produce some good news in time for the Council meeting in December. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I will ask you for your questions, please. You can ask in Czech, we can translate it. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Fillem. You said that every country have own condition for process of negotiation with EU. For Macedonia, its main issue is name issue. And do you think that in this situation, when Greece have huge problem with budget deficit, he will be ready to negotiate about name issue with Macedonia?
I think this is a question which should be addressed to my Greek colleagues. As far as I'm, interpret it, is do these two countries do these two governments and two prime ministers have a will and courage to find a solution to the name issue, which is already for years preventing the former Yugoslav of Macedonia to move forward, both as far as the European Union track, but also as far as the NATO track. We have repeated our recommendations from the last year based on the commitments to reform, based on the reforms record. We have upheld our recommendations for Skopje to start accession negotiations, and it is up to the European Council to decide, and I hope very much that before the European Council meets, all the possibilities are being used and the time really used by maximum by both parties to find a solution to the name issue. But that would mean a lot, not only to the citizens, Macedonian citizens, but I think it would have also a huge impact on the whole region. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, Czech News Agency. Lucie Petrová.
Dobrý den. Já mám dvě otázky. Já bych se zeptala, jestli země Visegrádu mají tady nějaký společný postoj k té současné krizi v eurozóně, jestli se na něčem usnesli. A potom, jak konkrétně by ta současná krize v eurozóně neboli v Řecku hlavně tady mohla nějak negativně ovlivnit rozšiřování Unie. Děkuji.
I have a good afternoon. I have two questions. The first question is: does the V4 group have a common stance towards the eurozone crisis? And the second question: how do you think the crisis could impact the future enlargement? Whether it could have a negative impact?
Vlastně na to odpovědím, že když je méně peněz, tak pobíhá všechno pomaleji. Pak se ty lidi zdráhají, vydávají víc peněz na různé projekty. V tom smyslu to má vliv. Co se týče eurozóny, my jsme o tom diskusi neměli. Jak známo, máme jednoho člena eurozóny mezi námi, ale všichni jsme si zajedno v tom, že ať jsme členy eurozóny nebo ne, tak jsme ono osudu a vývoji v eurozóně závislí, ať chceme nebo nechceme. A tudíž máme největší zájem na to, aby co nejrychleji dosáhla zase stabilitu, aby to se rozšíření a nervozita na trzích se sklidnila a pokud možno by mohli pracovat, abychom pomalu zase z té hospodářské krize zvedli, žádná naděj, že z toho rychle vyklouzne, neexistuje.
I can confirm that we didn't discuss it in the V4 plus Western Balkans formula, but I can share with you my personal view, which is that banks who underestimated risks in buying bonds should have been made to take the losses that they will have to take anyway, and that we should have engaged from the start institutions that have the greatest experience in dealing with indebtedness problems, which are not new problems. Every decade, some country or group of countries is in trouble like that. And we know which institution has the most experience in such matters, which is the International Monetary Fund. And indeed, it's through the increasing of the shareholding of some countries in the IMF, we could have drawn into the solution countries that have surplus cash holdings, but in a way that is organized and contributes to predictable solutions. Poland is not yet a member of the Eurozone, but we are by treaty obliged to join, and we want to join. But this crisis is not making it easier, because public support is dropping. And of course we have a stake in Eurozone overcoming its difficulties, but we see that this crisis is dragging on for far longer than it need have done. And I've already told you what I think about its origins, namely the breaking of the Stability Pact, not enlargement.
On the relationship between the crisis and the enlargement, I just would like to make one very short note. If my calculation is correct, then 5 countries of the so-called new member states contributed financially to the bailout funds, which were destined to assist some old member states. Apparently, without enlargement, these 5 countries could not have contributed to the bailout funds. So that perhaps also has to be considered when we want to analyze the impact of the crisis upon the enlargement, or indeed of the enlargement upon the crisis.
Next question, please check radio. Martin Dorazin.
Děkuji. Já mám otázku pro pana komisaře Fileho nejprve, protože z Bruselu přicházejí zprávy o tom, že na té prosincové radě, tady jsem, by nemusela padnout data o zahájení rozhovoru se Srbskem a Černou Horou, že se to posunuje až na druhou polovinu příštího roku. Jestli je to pravda, a pak druhá otázka pro pana ministra Schwarzenberga. Po této tiskové konferenci se propíše dohoda se Slovenskou republikou o vzájemném zastupování v zahraničí, na našich úřadech v zahraničí. Ještě po této konferenci se bude podepisovat dohoda se Slovenskou republikou o tom vzájemném, té vzájemné pomoci na našich zastupitelstvích. Co to bude konkrétně pro občany znamenat? Co ta dohoda přinese? Děkuji.
Tady budou navzájem pomáhat. To je to nejdůležitější na tom. Prostě usnadníme občanům přístup.
I have two questions. The first question is for Commissioner Fila. I've heard some rumors that as part of the December Council, it may a concrete date for the start of the accession negotiations with Serbia and Montenegro may not be set, and that it might be postponed to the second half of 2012. And the second question is for Minister Schwarzenberg. There will be an agreement with Slovakia signed after this press conference. It will be on mutual representation. So could you please tell us more about what it means specifically?
Já předpokládám, že bude lépe, když v češtině. Jde o doporučení komise a samotné rozhodnutí Evropské rady v prosinci je samozřejmě v rukou členských zemích. Rozšíření je politický proces, kde Evropská komise vyjednává jménem členských zemích na základě unijního AKI, ale samotné rozhodnutí přijímají členské státy na základě doporučení komise. Já nevidím žádný důvod, ale znovu je to na členských zemích, proč by doporučení mělo být nějakým způsobem měněno. V případě Černé Hory je třeba zdůraznit, že naše doporučení se opírá mimo jiné také o to, že navrhujeme, aby Černá Hora byla první zemí, která bude předmětem upraveného vyjednávacího procesu, kdy dvě kapitoly, kapitoly 23 a 24, které nazývám jinak hodnotové kapitoly, týkající se justice, týkající se základních práv a svobod, budou otevřeny na začátku a ukončeny až na konci vyjednávacího procesu.
A polovinu otázky dobře nerozumě. Můžete to ještě zopakovat?
Next place, question please. Anybody requires a translation which was said by the commissioner? Yes, please.
I think it will be better if I answer this question in Czech. The European Commission recommended the accession negotiations with Serbia and Montenegro to be launched. However, it is upon the decision of the Council and the individual member states to decide whether they will follow this recommendation. The enlargement process itself is based on the decision made by individual member states. I personally see no reason why the Council shouldn't follow our recommendation. And I would also like to add one more thing. With Montenegro, the negotiations will follow a new pattern. The chapters 23 and 24, which I call values-oriented chapters, including matters such as judicial system or fundamental human rights and so on, will be finished at the end of the process. Thank you.
And if I may, let me only just make one factual correction. I was talking about Montenegro and our recommendation to start accession negotiations with Montenegro. I was not talking about Serbia. because our recommendation to the December European Council is to grant candidate status to Serbia. And as far as the start of the accession negotiations, there is one key priority which needs to be fulfilled by Beograd before the Commission could recommend to the member states to decide about starting the accession negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question, please.
Dobrý den, Tománek, Česká tisková kancelář. Já bych se chtěl zeptat, jestli jste se za země V4 bavili taky o situaci v Kosovu a jestli jste třeba uzavřeli nějaký společný postoj k tomu dění na hranicích Kosova, kde dochází k blokování hraničních přechodů tím srbským etnikem. Díky.
I would like to ask a question. Did you discuss also the situation in Kosovo? For instance, did you adopt a joint position regarding the situation at the borders of Kosovo?
No, co se týče Kosova, nemáme úplně jednotný názor. Jak známo, jeden člen Vyšegradské čtyřky Kosovo neuznává. Nicméně jsme si všichni jednotní v stanovisku, že na Balkáně nemůže vzniknout takřka taková černá díra, nýbrž, že je cílem naší společné politiky, aby celý západní Balkán se časem stal součástí Evropské unie.
Můžem dodat? Slovensko bolo aj bilaterálne, ako som už zmienil, veľmi aktívne, je a bude aktívne na západnom Balkáne. Nesmierne sa tešíme výsledku Chorvátska, s ktorým to ťaháme, tak povediať, od samého začiatku. No, premýšľame, ako prispieť aj k dialogu medzi Srbskom a Prištinou tak, aby sme dosiahli riešenie, ktoré bude stredno a dlhodobo udržateľné. Takto mienime naložiť aj s našim doterajším postojom ku Kosovu. A budeme veľmi aktívni v nadchádzajúcom období.
I'd also like to add a few words because it's our service that is responsible for the dialogue between Belgrade and Pristina. So obviously Kosovo featured prominently in the discussions we had today, and we stressed two points. First one, dialogue is the answer, dialogue between Belgrade and Pristina, and we urge both parties to engage in a dialogue and to use this as the right platform to address all the open issues and sensitive issues. And second, that there is a need to find a sustainable solution for the north of Kosovo. And we've also conveyed this message to our partners, both from Belgrade and from Pristina.
Any more questions, please? And thank you very much for your attention. I wish you a pleasant afternoon and have a nice weekend.